This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Hard to believe that award-winning author and acclaimed creative writing teacher and empowerment coach Bella Mahia Carter was once so paralyzed by anxiety disorder that she was afraid to leave her house. She now is someone who teaches others to holistically heal anxiety. Her new book, Where Do You Hang Your Hammock, helps writers as well as others experience greater freedom, joy, and peace of mind. Practical, actionable, and inspirational advice, offering encouragement and insight into the writing process or other creative endeavors that are fraught with insecurity. Bella Mahia Carter, described as a modern-day medicine woman disguised as an entrepreneur, is our guest next on today's This Week in America.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. That's 800-298-0306.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy. Some uncle I never knew called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars. And they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-817-2871. 800-817-2871. That's 800-817-2871.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. Where do you hang your hammock? My acclaimed writing coach and author, Bella Mahia Carter, has been called a masterclass in how to write, publish, and promote your book, The Writer's Bible, the quintessential guide to writing for both novice and experienced writers alike. Practical advice for writing and living life as a whole. Bella is a creative writing teacher, empowerment coach, worked with hundreds of writers, degrees in literature, film, and spiritual psychology, sought-after speaker, author. Her award-winning memoir, Raw, My Journey from Anxiety to Joy, was named a top 10 inspirational book for 2018. Also the author of Secrets of My Sex, a collection of 71 narrative poems. Her poetry, essays, fiction, and interviews have been featured in numerous publications. Bella Mahia Carter, author of Where Do You Hang Your Hammock? Finding Peace of Mind While You Write, Publish, and Promote Your Book, our guest on This Week in America. Hi, Bella. Welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, thanks for inviting me, Rick. I'm really happy to be here.
I've been so looking forward to talking with you. The book is really transformational for so many people, and it was for you in the beginning. How did a hammock that you received for Mother's Day years ago become the key to your personal and professional transformation? It was life-altering, wasn't it?
It absolutely was. I tell the story in the introduction to the book, and I'll tell you a condensed version right now. So 10 years ago, my husband and my daughter gave me this fabulous gift for Mother's Day. It was a hammock. But the only problem was I really didn't know where to put it. I had a decent-sized backyard, but I host events there, especially literary salons and things like that. And so I didn't want this big hammock in the middle of my backyard. And then I realized that on the side of the house, we had a tool shed that we weren't really using. It was kind of really a junk shed. And so we cleaned out the junk shed and we demolished it and we set up the hammock on the side of the house, and it was just perfect. It was a beautiful spot, shady tree. It was just great. And then one day, after some years of enjoying my hammock, something was different when I went out to go to my hammock, and I looked up and I noticed that the branch that had been providing the shade to my hammock, that my neighbor had cut it down without asking us. The tree was on his side of the property, but the limb extended through a hole in the fence and provided this beautiful canopy of shade for me. So I was really angry about this. I didn't know what to do. My husband was like, oh, you know, it's no big deal. We can get a shade structure. And I said, well, no, I don't want to look at a shade structure. I want to look at the sky. I want to look at the trees. And he said, well, we'll get, you know, a tree and we'll plant it and it'll be just fine. And I said, well, it'll take forever for a tree to grow that big. You know, it's just not going to work. And so he kept coming up with these great ideas and I kept shooting them down. And I just stopped using my hammock. And then at the end of the summer, I just was pining away from my hammock. And I said, well, you know what? I'm going to just make this work somehow. And I ended up putting on some gardening gloves and pulling down a rotting redwood trellis and dragging the hammock just a few feet under a different tree. And I got into my hammock and I looked up at the sky and I thought, oh, my goodness, this is beautiful. Why hadn't I done this sooner? And the reason that I hadn't done it sooner was that my mind was fixed. I was just on my position. It was rigid. I thought it was supposed to look a certain way. And when it didn't look that way, I was completely incapacitated. And what this has to do with creative writing is that I realized that when I was on the path to publication of my memoir, Raw, My Journey from Anxiety to Joy, things weren't unfolding in the ways that I expected them to unfold. And I realized that this was a perfect metaphor for the writing life, because so often we have these dreams and they just don't happen the way we think that they should. But meanwhile, there are opportunities in front of us that if we can let go of our position and think, well, it doesn't have to happen that way, maybe it can happen a different way. When we can do that, then we open ourselves to the possibility that life offers us.
You know, the book is so enlightening, receiving excellent reviews from people in all types of creative endeavors, not just writing, because there are lessons for life for people here. And you said something in an interview once, and there's so many things in here, and I'd like to just go through this. Letting go of the end result and giving myself permission to dream and play freed me. Didn't have to do things right. I held nothing back. Let's talk about end result first. We all sort of have an end result in mind, don't we, when we start a project, whether it's writing or whatever project we're starting?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think that it's okay to have an idea in your mind for an end result, but I think that the blessing is to hold it lightly and to know that even though Webster's defines failure as not reaching your mark, you know, you have a goal and you don't reach it, and that's what Webster defines as failure. But when you can hold that lightly and you realize that in some ways there's no such thing as failure, there's only opportunities for growth, there's only a different perspective on something. And so maybe the idea that you had in your head wasn't supposed to work out that way. Maybe there's a different gift for you somewhere if you just look in another direction.
You know, it's interesting that the part giving yourself permission to dream, some of us think as soon as we become, I don't know, maybe even teenagers, we stop dreaming. Reality sets in. We can't dream anymore. We have to be totally focused. How did you get to the point where you gave yourself permission to dream? And you said it freed me. Once you got to that state, you were a different person.
Yeah, well, I think dreaming is very important. And I think that we're all creative beings, and I think that life itself is creative. And that when we give ourselves the permission to be in the moment and to stop planning and scheming and imagining,
yes,
you know, imagining success for ourselves, when we can just really dream about whatever it is we want to create and be with the work, that's different. I mean, and it's also okay to dream about ambition. I guess the important thing is, what is behind your dreaming? What is the energy behind it? Do you think that you need to accomplish something in order to somehow be okay in life? That was me. I mean, I was a people pleaser, and I'm a recovering perfectionist, and I was constantly jumping through hoops and achieving things because deep down I felt like I wasn't good enough. I felt like I need to do these things to prove that I'm worthy. And what I've learned in, you know, in this journey that's been painful at times is that we're all worthy. I'm not better than anyone, and I'm not less than anyone. And when I can just do my work, dream myself into my work without an undercurrent of, well, I have to prove myself because somehow I need to do outstanding things in order to deserve to exist, then that's problematic.
With us on the program, Bella Maya Carter, the book is Where Do You Hang Your Hammock? Finding Peace of Mind While You Write, Publish, and Promote Your Book. Bella, B-E-L-L-A, Mahaya is M-A-H-A-Y-A, Carter, and I give you that because her website is bellamahayacarter.com. We've got all that on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Book available, of course, wherever books are sold. Information on her website. So much more information there as well. The first question in your book, and I think you just touched on that with that last answer, is who do you think you are? You call that the quintessential spiritual inquiry. Talk about that and why sometimes even as adults we struggle with that.
Well, I think it's because we live in a culture that is competitive, and that we do feel like we have to prove ourselves. We do feel like we are what we do. I mean, we feel like we identify with the roles that we play. In other words, we might identify with being a parent. We might identify with being a wife or a husband. I might think that who I am has to do with my education or the house that I live in or the car that I drive or the vacations that I take, and on and on and on and on. We're taught to identify with these external, sometimes status symbols or lack of them, and we think that's who we are, but that's not who we are. Those are the circumstances of our lives, but not the essence of our lives.
The book breaks things down into five categories. You've got dream, nourish, write, publish, and promote. Let's talk about nourish, how important that is. And the first chapter you have in that section is on starting the day. How important is that? I know you go through, I don't want to necessarily say a ritual, but you go through a process in starting the day. So many of us just hop out of bed and we're at it right away, and maybe it's because we overslept that day. But talk about how important it is to get that strong start.
I think it's great to get a strong start. And by strong start, I mean, and this is going to sound counterintuitive, but I mean a slow start.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I tend to move very, very fast. So what that means is that my mind moves not at the speed of life, but at the speed of thought. And I'm attacking my to-do list, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. So I find that if I can just give myself a little bit of space, and if I can slow down, then that will set the tone for the rest of my day. I have a little snow globe on my desk, and it has five rocks that are balanced, one on top of the next. And it's when you shake the snow globe, you cannot see the rocks, the beautiful balanced rocks inside the snow globe. And our thinking is like that snow. And so when our minds are moving fast like that, we don't have the clarity to make good decisions.
With us on the program is Bella Mahaya Carter, her website, bellamahayacarter.com. I'll give you that and spell it here in a few minutes. Where Do You Hang Your Hammock? Finding Peace of Mind While You Write, Publish, and Promote Your Book is the title of her book. It is doing extremely well, receiving rave reviews. Again, information on our website. You can order there as well, and you can find information link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk a little bit about the nourishing process for beginning writers, probably for writers who have been doing it for a while. You talk about breaks, you talk about clutter, that type of thing. How important is the writing atmosphere?
You know, I think it's very important. I was actually looking at some old photos on my computer this morning, and I came upon a photo that somebody sent me that was her desk before and after she decided to clear it. And she referred to her office as Mom Central. It was just covered with her kids' stuff. And when she went into her office, she had no desire to write because it was just, you know, basically cluttered with everybody else's stuff. And then, so that's the before photo. And then the after photo, it's this pristine desk that has nothing but her laptop, some flowers in a vase, and a candle. And that's it. And she said, every time I went into my office after I cleared it, I felt inspired.
So it was a friendly workplace. She wanted to go in there and be creative and go through with the writing process.
Right, and it didn't remind her of all the things that she needed to do.
Yes.
It was a clear space, so she could go in there and she felt freedom to explore her imagination.
You talk to so many people and they feel like, okay, I have to devote so much time to writing. I'm going to work really hard. And you bring up something that's very interesting. There's nothing wrong with hard work if it comes from a place of purpose and joy. But once your hard work becomes a proving ground of self-worth, a battlefield is born. Talk about that balance between hard work and productive work.
Yeah, first I just want to congratulate you. You've really done your homework, and I think your questions are fantastic.
Oh,
so
well,
thank you for coming to this with
You're
such
welcome.
Great questions. Yeah, so I think that I touched on it earlier. You know, it's okay to have dreams and goals, but when you start striving because you're being driven by something inside you that is saying, I'm not good enough, I need to prove myself, then that's not really a happy place to work from. So I think that nourishing oneself also has to do, I think there's kind of three things that go into self-nourishment. One is to slow down, to just not feel like you have to race around all the time. And then that way you can really listen. You can listen to the wisdom inside you and be guided by that rather than by things that are on the outside kind of weighing in on you. And then the second thing is to surrender, which is also really counterintuitive. But there's things that we can't control, and we often cling, you know, we cling to this illusion of control, but there are many things that we don't control. So surrender has to do with opening up and accepting the circumstances that you find yourself in and asking the question, how can I meet this with equanimity and grace? How can I show up in a way that uplifts me, myself and others? And so I think these are nourishing questions to ask. And then also I think something really nourishing is just celebrating your accomplishments, even small accomplishments, even just, you know, at the end of the day, you did an hour's worth of writing, or maybe even it was 30 minutes of writing, and just feeling good about that and allowing yourself to just say, hey, congratulations, you did a good job.
You were so relatable, because what aspiring writers go through, what productive writers have been doing it for years go through, is they can look back at your career and see you went through the same thing. You had the same self-doubts that we have. How do you go about liberating writers from the self-defeating thoughts and the self-defeating behaviors?
Oh, I love this question. The way to do it is to help writers understand that they are not their thinking. I have a chapter in my book called Universal Doubt.
Yes.
And what I mean by universal doubt is that we all have doubts. We all have voices in our heads that say, I'm not good enough, who cares what I have to say, this will never get, I'll never find a publisher, or whatever the, you know, whatever the narrative is, we all have this. It's in psychology, it's called a negativity bias, and it's designed to help us survive. The important thing is to understand that just because we have this kind of thinking, it doesn't mean that what the thinking is telling us is true. It's kind of like, imagine fish in water. They're swimming around, and they really don't have any sense of themselves as being separate from the water. They, you know, the water is just part of their world, and that's how it is for us when we don't understand the nature of thought. So for years, I had that insecure thinking, and I just believed it. And it prevented me from doing the things that I really wanted to do. It prevented me from showing up in the most authentic way possible. So what I try to do is to show people that, okay, you know what, this is not personal. This is not particular to you. We all have this. And if you can just create a little bit of distance between that thinking and yourself or your essence, the real you, then you're going to have a lot more freedom to do what is in your heart to do.
With us on the program is Bella Mahia Carter. Her website is bellamahiacarter.com. Her book is Where Do You Hang Your Hammock? Finding Peace of Mind While You Write, Publish, and Promote Your Book. And we'll have more with Bella after we pause briefly for these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the Low-Cost Airlines Travel Hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now.
You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. That's 800-298-0306.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy. Some uncle I never knew called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars. And they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-817-2871. 800-817-2871. That's 800-817-2871.
Nobody wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either. I've got an offer to tell you about to provide home security for your home for less than a dollar a day. For real, with no installation or equipment charges. And this is from a company rated number one by a leading consumer research company. According to the facts, most of you won't even call unless there's a burglary in your neighborhood or something bad happened. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For less than a dollar a day with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the Home Security Hotline right now.
800-218-6710. 800-218-6710. 800-218-6710. Again, that's 800-218-6710.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
You're listening to This Week in America. Our guest on the program, Bella Mahia Carter. She's the author of Where Do You Hang Your Hammock? We're talking about the creative process in writing, finding peace of mind while you write, publish, and promote your book. Situations we're talking about here that are applicable to real life as well. Let's talk about going from writing to publishing. And you say authors both crave and lament publishing. Talk a little bit about that. And you went through that where you thought that you needed to have a traditional publisher to be what you, in your mind, thought was a legitimate author. How do you go about getting something published and finding someone to do it?
Well, the good news is that there are more opportunities to publish today than ever before.
Yes.
That's the good news. But it is still a challenge because on many levels, basically in terms of the publishing landscape, you have traditional publishing, which is when you're given a contract and you're paid for your work and you develop the work and you get a small percentage of the royalties on your work. That's traditional publishing. And that it has definitely been the gold standard in publishing for a long, long time. But then you now have self-publishing and you have hybrid publishing. So hybrid publishing is also partnership publishing. And I think the most important thing is for authors to, for me personally, I had the dream of traditional publishing for a long, long time. The challenge with traditional publishing is that you have to really have a platform. That's a author platform is just a big deal these days, and you need to come in with an audience. And so I actually go into this in depth in my book, the different reasons to maybe go in different areas. But for me, letting go of that dream of publishing on a traditional press, that was really hard. But when I dug down deep, I realized I She Writes Press, I was connected with She Writes Press through their publisher, Brooke Warner, who was a former acquisitions editor at Seal Press for many years. And I loved her, and I loved what she was doing, and I loved the idea of being able to have creative control over my manuscript. But the main reason why, two reasons why I went with them was, the first thing was I discovered that the reason why I wanted a traditional publishing contract had to do with me wanting validation from the outside. I wanted a gatekeeper to open the door and say, you are welcome, we are welcoming you, and you are good enough.
Yes,
and
exactly.
What I realized was, like, I didn't need that. And I actually, when it came time to think about publishing, I didn't even shop the book, because years earlier I had shopped it to agents. And this is my memoir now, Raw, My Journey from Anxiety to Joy, which has since won an award, Body, Mind, Spirit Award, at Benjamin Franklin Book Awards.
Fantastic.
In 2019. But what was interesting was I didn't want, so when I had shopped it to agents, they were saying, well, you need to develop your platform as a raw food expert, because there's a component of that book. I had chronic stomach problems, and I didn't know it was related to anxiety. And so the book is divided into three parts, body, mind, and spirit. And in the body section, I talk about my going on this raw food diet to try and cure what was going on with my stomach. And it was great, and it was effective. But the response that I got from agents was, you need to build your platform as a raw food expert. But really, that wasn't what the book was about, nor was that what I'm about. I mean, that was just kind of a side piece, and it launched the book, but there was also the mind section and the spirit section. And I am an empowerment coach and a writing teacher, and that's, you know, that's who I am, and that's where, you know, that's how I show up in the world.
Yes.
So I didn't want to be pigeonholed to be something that I wasn't. And so I decided I don't need that validation. I'm going to move forward. I believe in myself. I believe in my work, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this my way. And I have not had a moment's regret or doubt about that, about moving in that direction, because it's enabled me to really, my whole world has expanded since then.
Well, it's interesting, because you said what you didn't want to shrink into someone else's narrow view of who I should be. And again, it goes back to finding out who you are, who you want to be. And for you, it has opened so many doors. The next step, and you talk about it in your book, Where Do You Hang Your Hammock, is publishing, or is promoting. And so many writers identify themselves as introverts. They'd much rather be at a computer writing a story than out talking about it. How difficult is it to overcome that, to realize I need to go out to promote?
Well, it's only difficult when you think about it in terms of, in the way you just said.
Yes.
In other words, if you're a sensitive, introverted, quiet writer, which is kind of common, you know, or you know, somebody who would maybe prefer to be alone, it's hard to think about putting yourself out there. So I like to reframe that, and I like to say, this is an opportunity for you to share what's in your heart, your life's work, whatever that may be, and to have conversations with people about it. So I don't talk about it in terms of promotion. I talk about it in terms of sharing and connection. Ultimately, at the end of the day, we all want to feel connected. We all want,
yes,
human contact. We all want to be part. I mean, the truth is, that's who we are, right? We all are connected. We all are part of a whole. And, you know, we make up these stories about, well, you know, this person is different from me. But really, we're more the same than we are different. And so when I help people shift their understanding about what promotion really is, what marketing really is, what publicity really is, it's all about human connection.
You'll find all of the information at Bella's website, Bella Mahia Carter. Mahia is M-A-H-A-Y-A. I'll have all the information on our website as well, thisweekinamerica.us, and you can get all the information on Bella, the workshops, what she's doing, all of her books, including Where Do You Hang Your Hammock? Finding Peace of Mind While You Write, Publish, and Promote Your Book. Bella, the time has gone by too quickly. It's really been fun having you on the program. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, Rick, thanks for having me. I love being here with you.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.